gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you.
Welcome back to our Faith Walking Meditations. Here we are again. This time we are starting a new book, a new conversation. I am aware that all our conversations had to do with the things of God, things of the soul. We somehow contextualize that to faith walking, and that is great. But I'm really looking forward for this season of conversations, because I think the content that is coming is very helpful, is important. The seasons are, we're following a book that is written by John Mark Comer, and the book is called Eliminating Hurry. Probably you have read it. I think that it is a book that many people know about. And here we are. We're going to talk about that. Eliminating hurry. So even if I ask, you know, what's hurry in your life, or how much hurry is in your life, I bet that we have a good conversation there, right there to start, right? Because the idea of hurry is very relevant in our times. So I think one of the beautiful things that I read before reading this book, a book about John Ortberg, who is somehow, he does a foreword, and he is a disciple of Dallas Willard. And I remember that this quote that is quoted again in the book that we are starting, hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. And I also remember, man, that is so real. And this first chapter, or this first conversation is going to be around that, right? What is the impact of hurry in our lives? Not only spiritually, but emotionally, relationally. We can put physically, physiologically. We can get into lots of perspectives, but you know, Dallas Willard years ago was able, and he's not the first one. Actually, there is a quote of a spiritual director of C.S. Lewis, right? And it's Walter Adams, that I like that. It says the same thing. To walk with Jesus is to walk with a slow and hurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer. There you go. Boom. And only impedes and spoils our work. It never advances it. And if there is something that is real about our season of life, culturally probably, is that we are in a hurry. I have this memory of being young. I was a young hotel manager many, many years ago. And I remember in one of those events that we were doing, I don't know, it was a wedding or a conference or a seminar or something, but I was the hotel provider. I was the host, right? My deal was to provide the services. And I remember walking, you know, to get something from somewhere. And the maitre of the hotel was walking with me. And I remember saying, man, you walk fast. And I say, what? You don't? Is there a different way to work? We're working here. Come on. And, you know, picture of her in my life. Anyway, I believe, and this is my way of saying what I get from this first chapter, is that we are overconnected. We are overcommitted. We're overinformed. We're overconcerned with speed and control, and that equals state or stance that is fearful, that is distracted, that is anxious, and that is constantly exhausted. And that's the point, right? This is a threat to spiritual life, and not only spiritual life, but emotional health. As a counselor, yeah, anxiety is the name. Depression, that is it, right? We all have these things. And it's so interesting to think that sometimes we think of medicine for it. We even want to control that medicine, right? But we don't think that something is wrong with the way that we are living life. And it's helpful also to remember that we are not trying to judge in a way, but really just be curious about this. So, pathological busyness, right? I like that's another quote from the book. It was Rainer. Pathological busyness. So this is our pathology. This is our problem. Pathological distraction and restlessness are major blocks today within our spiritual life. So that is kind of what the author will say is the problem, right? He's going to expand into this, but the contrast of that is God's way. Let's put it that way. I'm not trying to be religious, right? But what do we see in Jesus? I mean, that is the way. What's God's way? Jesus is not only the Son of God, for sure he is, but as a human, I think he embodies what does it mean to be fully human, fully alive. That there you go, that's a fit walking quote. And we don't see him in a hurry, right? We don't see him having to make a decision right now because this is the moment. We see people getting him in a hurry, but we don't see Jesus kind of coming into a hurry mode. Oh my gosh, I need to do this right now. We see in him intention, right? We see in him decision. You know, we see that he moved his face, he turned his face into Jerusalem, and he was, you know, focused. But we don't see hurry. So hurry is not compatible, if you want, with the things that we see in Jesus. I mean, the author talks about love, joy, peace. And I think that is also brilliant, he says, because really, what that hurry does to love? Can we really love? You know, I don't have time to boom, 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 keep going. I don't have time to stop and to be present to you or to me. Sometimes, right? And yes, I love you, and that's understood, okay? Let's keep going. So there's no way, and I remember, it's in love that is not expressed and incarnated in a way, incarnated in action, in listening, in behavior. It is just a concept, right? I would say it is useless. What that hurry does to joy. I'm not talking about fun. I'm talking about joy. Joy. This sense of something that is whole and makes me want to worship, to dance. Yes, it's not very connected, right? I don't have time to celebrate. Have you connected? I mean, I don't sometimes. I would like to. Maybe later. What does hurry does to peace? In the sense of peace. Actually, the scripture of that came to me when I was reading is Jesus saying, I give you my peace, right? This is my peace. I give it to you. And it's different, right? I don't give it as the world gives you peace. Contextual. There is something that is different. So, wow, it's a lot. It may seem simple, but I believe is a lot. And I'd like to start our dialogue. What do you think of it? How is this in your life? I have said a few questions as a prompt, but you take your time and choose what you want to share. What causes hurry in your life? What is the impact of hurry for you? And what are your experiences, your thoughts of the impact of hurry in your spiritual life, in your walk with God? So let's start. Laura, with you. What are you learning? What is coming up for you as you read this?
Yeah, so I think I haven't read it. I probably won't read it, but I did read the questions. I have a couple other books that I'm reading right now. So I was thinking about this the past few days. I think what causes hurry in the past probably for me has been more of a, I think I used to have a pretty strong drive to want to be productive. And I feel like I needed to always be doing something that was like worthwhile, or and that led to busyness and hurry. And actually one of the most fruitful things I saw from doing faith walking a few years ago was the practice of building margin into my life. That was one of the spiritual disciplines I chose from the beginning. And it was super impactful. And so I think I'm less hurried than I used to be. But even now, I think probably what causes hurry looks different. It's probably more of just wanting to do, like, there's so many things that I would enjoy and that I like to do, and there's not enough time for them. So, like, prioritizing or just procrastinating, I think, is a struggle for me. By wanting to maximize the time and squeeze too many things in, and then, you know, not having enough time to do all of that. I think the impact of that is stress. Then instead of having, you know, there's all these different things that I would like to be doing, and then, you know, maybe I don't do any of them well, or I end up not having enough time to really fully devote to any of them. There's less presence. It's not good. And thoughts or experiences about her in the context of my spiritual life. I think that was another one that I saw a ton of benefit from with faith walking. I was actually sharing that with somebody else recently about just like when it first started, when I did the 101 retreat several years ago, and I was having a really hard time even just like sitting and being still and listening to the Lord. But then doing that through like 101 and 201, and then even I've redone, I think, two or three modules. That's really helped me to like slow down and not be hurried, and to try to wait. But I know probably a significant growth area for me still is like not wanting to hurry God, to be able to be patient and to be still and to wait and to, I don't know, trust in his timing. It's easy to say, like, you know, God's timing is perfect and his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and all those things. But like waiting to hear from him about something, or waiting for guidance or wisdom or discernment, is something that I still have definitely room to grow in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Laura. Sometimes the first thing that we become aware when we try to stop is that we can't. It's not easy. It's like detox. I don't know if that has happened for you. Okay, vacation is coming. I'm going. And the first days of vacation is like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Something is not okay. Yeah, I believe that there are some elements detox. It may be that we are addicted to productivity. Be efficient, right? We don't want to show up as not productive. Yeah. Thank you. Trish, what about you?
This is something that I've been growing into for actually several years now, but it's something I'm continually challenged on. And I've become very conscientious about building margin in my life, and enough margin in my life, so that I can focus on what God wants me to focus on. And also, probably just as importantly, is that I require a lot of margin to continue this healing journey that God has me on. And so if I start to get too busy, I start to feel it in my body, well, as anxiety, but I start to feel overwhelmed. And it's sometimes I just have to pull back from things, and I'll tell my husband, okay, this is a day I'm doing nothing, as in nothing. I'm going to just be still. I really like how the author of this book on page 25, and you mentioned it in your bullet points, is that love, joy, and peace are at the heart of all Jesus is trying to grow in the soil of your life. And all three are incompatible with hurry. And I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, it's true. I mean, when we want to, you know, show love for another person, that means that we stop and we give our attention to them. In fact, in your opening comments right before you asked us these questions, when you were going through the bullet points, it reminded me of the book we just completed with you on the joyful journey and how it talked about our relational circuits and that often our relational circuits are closed for a number of different reasons, but we have to slow down in order for our relational circuits to be open. And even like, you know, if I go to church or if I go to a meeting or whatever, and I've got something on my mind, I may say hello to a number of people, but I'm closed because I'm thinking I have something on my mind. I'm preoccupied. And so my relational circuits are not open to really stop and listen. And that's just being unhurried is the pace that God created us for. And I've told a number of people, and I think this a lot, God did not create our bodies or our brains to live at the pace at which we're living right now with everything that's happening with digital, with AI, artificial intelligence. All of that is like at warp speed. Take that from Star Trek. You know, it's like it's gone, and it's very easy to get caught up in that. Very easy.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Just a quick comment, Trish, probably you have also thoughts about experiences in your spiritual life, but you made me think of relational. So just a moment. What happens when we try to do relationship in a hurry, right? Actually, that's what we are complaining of. That's what hurt us, if that is the case. Not seen, not heard.
Right. It's exactly right. And that's the damage that's, you know, done, is that we need to be seen. We need to be heard. That's how God created us to be. And how if somebody we really love and if we want to stop and spend time with them and they don't have the time to slow down and be with us, how hurtful that is.
Do you have experiences specifically in your life or want to tell something else about the impact? Please.
What impact?
Do you have experiences specifically of moments when you have been in a hurry? How that has impacted your spiritual life?
For sure. it's like I keep a handwritten calendar on purpose because I know I could keep my calendar on my phone and all that sort of thing, but I have to keep it on paper because if I get more than a couple things written on there, I know that I need a lot of margin around that. Not just because we live in Houston, but it takes drive time and stuff, but because I need time to process. I need time to unwind. I need time mostly to process. And it's, if I do not have the time to process, then I don't have any time for, I guess what I'm talking about is reflection. Mm-hmm. And reflecting on what God may be doing in my life or reflecting on or maybe listening to what he has to say about things. Certainly, if I'm too busy, I am not paying attention to him, bottom line. I mean, I can be really busy in religious activity, and that's really kind of the challenge that it is for me these days is that, and especially with all these Zoom opportunities, when we all started Zooming, it was like all of a sudden I had access to Zoom with ministries on the other side of the world or Zoom with ministries on, you know, I didn't have to travel there to do things. And yeah, I could be doing, you know, good Zoom calls all the time. But it's just another form of busy. And I really believe that God Well, it's like his whisper to us. We can't hear his whisper unless we're quiet, unless we've slowed down. And, you know, I too know that feeling of detox. If I've been super, super busy, it takes me a little bit to decompress.
Thank you, Trish. It is so real that the season of life, it seems that, I don't know, in this age, we're in a stretch, right? We have an excessive way of connect, and I don't know if we can keep up with it, right?
And I think that, too, because our access to information is unprecedented. I think as human beings, we feel like if we have enough information and we trust this information from sources that we know, that we think we trust, then we can figure out things, or we can, that we know things that, yeah. I think it's a fallacy.
It's a way of control. If I know
it's something. It's a way of control. And that, I think, is our, I think that's our biggest problem as human beings, is we want the control.
Yeah. The problem is that the solution becomes a problem. Right. Okay. Now you have all the information. How are we going to going to process that? And when we discover that the information can be manipulated, and then we are afraid of the kind of the source of information,
That's when I have to go back and pay attention to be very simple and realize this is where God has planted me. This, I live in this city, in this neighborhood. I go to this church, and what is mine to do? What is mine to do? And to slow down. Yeah, just, I can't figure out the world's problems, nor does he want me to. It's balance of knowing, being plugged in, knowing what's going on in the world, and at the same time, pulling back from that and recognizing that I just need to be doing what he wants me to do, the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Trish. Very rich. Thank you. Yeah. I'd love to invite Judith. You know, how is this for you?
It's a challenge. I heard once that, and you might take exception to this, but somebody said, Jesus was always busy, but he was never in a hurry. And I think there's a difference. I need to budget my time well so that I'm not in a hurry. I can be busy and accomplish things, but as soon as I feel rushed, then my anxiety level goes way up and I'm much less productive. Then I don't get as much done. It's one thing that is always frustrating to me is when I have, this is kind of true confessions, when I have set aside time to do something with one of my friends. I like to go on a couple mornings a week. I walk with a couple of friends, and I know that Maria is always late. She's always late. She apologizes every time, but it's something she just can't do. And because I'm coming from a different setting and different situation, my circumstances are different. I need to get back to work. I have other things that I have to do. When she's late enough, it makes it really hard to enjoy the walk. It makes it hard to even feel present to the beauty of the surroundings, and because I'm so distracted. I made some interesting progress with this a few weeks ago when one women's group that I was in meets on the second Thursday of every month for dinner and discussion, conversation. And usually we meet at 5 o'clock, but I had a Zoom thing at 7. And, you know, when we meet, we sit, we chat, it's lovely. There's no sense of hurry, but this thing at 7 was important to me. And I asked, would it be possible for us to eat earlier? Because usually we'll sit there and we'll chat and then we'll eat at 6 o'clock. And I knew that if we were going to sit down to eat at 6 o'clock, I was going to be worried and anxious about getting back in time for my thing at 7. And so I just asked, could we eat earlier? And the response was no. Maybe if, you know, you've got to be back by 7, maybe you come and just chat and don't eat, or maybe you don't come this month, which on the one hand was a very ungracious response from the person I asked. But on the other hand, it really set it out for me and helped me to see that, okay, I need to create a boundary here. I knew that if I went and didn't eat, but enjoyed the conversation, I would still feel rushed that I'd have to get home and eat something before my 7 o'clock thing. So I decided I was going to stay home, not because I was mad, or at least not initially because I was annoyed, but because it made sense that I would not enjoy it if I was rushed. I would not be able to be present mentally and emotionally with them if I was constantly watching my watch. And it worked out just fine. Because I'm very aware that when I feel rushed, my anxiety level goes way up. Yeah. And that's the thing that's touching me with this was the relationship of hurry and distraction when I was reading the chapter. Because I wish that I had an on-off switch for my mind, that when I really want to focus on something, I wish there was a little off button I could push that would make everything else go away for that time so that I could just really focus. And I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about sometimes even a good conversation. And I don't feel hurried, but is still there a sense of time parameters that are there that I'm aware of, even if I don't feel hurried, that's allowing these distractions to come. I'm still looking for that little on-off switch, because that would really be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, when you talk about the on-off switch makes me smile, because there's so much of that is present in our lives. And talk with a lot of people that silence, what are you talking about, or quietness, or come on, I cannot do that. And actually there is all this whole category, right? I cannot do that, that's not my thing. And I will agree that there are temperaments and bio temperaments and all of that, but I always think that if something is hard, this is not about gaining points or anything, but potentially might be because it's something that we need, right? That some growth in that area might be helpful. And it is an overstimulation, right? With little kids, right? And as a counselor, I talk with people, different ages, different seasons, and I talk with younger people. I don't work with kids. But I'm getting older, so there are a lot of younger people that I see that, I'm not the younger. And I see that the different makings of that kind of a stimulation, right? And you see these younger generations growing up with this need for more stimulation. Mm-hmm. They are quick and fast, but they need something happening, right? My hands are fidgeting. I need some. And I notice that when I'm in a hurry, right? I'm in a hurry, but I'm not focused. And I get you. It's a really good point, the distinction between a hurry and busy. But here I am looking at emails that I haven't received yet. Or, that I don't even gonna receive, just checking if there is something that I have a sense that I'm doing something, right? I'm in control with something.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And, part of the challenge for me is that because I am bivocational, I live in this dorm, I'm on duty 24/7. but I'm also a priest and I have a congregation, and how to balance that so that this little contraption has to be with me all the time because I am on call 24/7.
Yeah.
And so I need to make sure I put it in its place.
Yes. Yeah, it's excellent. What about the spiritual life? How does that impact you, Judith, when you think of your own relationship with God?
I think this is going to sound funny, but I think one of the best things that's happened in my life was facing that depression and anxiety that hit 2.5-3 years ago, because I couldn't do anything. Mm. I had no motivation for anything. And it really, really slowed me down. I had no interest in things, but what I did find interest was my time walking and reflecting. And that has changed so much in my life, because I'm still walking a lot. And that's my time to get out and really spend time in spiritual thought. And you know, it's not just prayer time. It's really a time of reflection. It's almost like my Sabbath is out walking. And maybe that sounds contradictory because it's exercise and not rest, but it's exercise in nature that really stimulates me spiritually. So that's been a blessing. One challenge for sure as a priest is maintaining that focus and not hurrying when I'm officiating a church, wanting to be present to what I'm doing and not just be the leader, but truly be present with everyone. And that's a challenge sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. We will keep exploring this thing that is part of the problem, right? So I think I mentioned, and obviously in the past conversations, my background in the hotel, and I grew up there, so it was not just a profession. So I grew up in that environment. I believe that has a lot to do with some of the things that I see myself right now, thinking of hurry. So I have always something in mind. I'm trying to always think to the next step, right? The thinking a lot about the future, and not necessarily with anxiety or anything, but just trying to be ahead. And sometimes, yeah, we have the baggage of thinking of our past. But I notice, for example, coffee, right? I love coffee, but I like to take my coffee and enjoy it. You know, I see my wife doing it, and I can't, you know, because I have this idea that I will rest when things have been taken care of. And that's a hotel manager life, by the way, right? You have to finish your task, you know, your service, whatever, to kind of relax. And I don't like that about myself. Conversation, right? Sometimes at dinner, I think I'm a good host when I am able to be unhurried, right? Because when I don't think really well, this is false self. You can connect it that way too. I am a host that is more like Martha and less than Mary, right? Imagine, you know, here I am hosting Jesus, and she's worried with all the dishes and the things that are, and it is hard for me. I have to be really in a good place and intentional, focused, you know, the space to really let the dishes be the dishes. You know, I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's what I'm thinking. And I think I did a good job when we got married. I mean, God has been gracious, and faith walking has helped me. And then the next level, right? Like if it would be a video game, the next level were kids. Now I don't only have to, you know, not worry about the dishes, but worry about the kids, right? What they are doing, and they are asking all the time. So I'm constantly aware of this is an area that is hard for me. I feel hurried. The impact of hurried for me is anger. Right? I don't yell at anybody or anything, but I am not. I'm resented with, I don't know, with the universe or whatever it is, right? With something, the situation. Always thinking that I will appreciate it if or when something is not as it is. And that's a pretty sad space to be. Part of my practice had to start with silence. I remember years ago, and constantly and little by little keeps growing into not being in that hurry. So there is this distinction that actually it comes from therapy I've been learning. Is the need of the distinctions itself and the dialectical aspect of life, I would say. And there's a little concept that comes from DBT called doing mind, right? Doing mind, and just bear with me, and being mind. Sounds like, you know, whatever, new age or whatever, but it is, imagine two circles, and there is one circle, right? I mean, left circle is doing mind. And doing mind is when I'm doing something, is a mind on task, right? When I'm on task, I'm doing it, I'm separating things, I'm focused, you know, the things here are not so important because I have a goal, I have to achieve, I have to do it. Helpful. You know, thank you for that, because I need that sometimes. I need to learn to be able to pay attention to some things, right? It's like this big light in the theater that is able to close into the person who is talking, right? Okay, I'm doing mine on a task. And the other circle, imagine other circle that is on the right side and is being mine. And this being mine is presence, is mindfulness, is spirituality, is I have these moments and bear with me with things, but the fall is amazing for me. I didn't grow up in the fall and probably didn't pay. I mean, I pay attention to nature all my life, but I didn't grow up with a lot of experience learning to pay attention to the change of seasons. You know, all year long, same tree, doesn't change, evergreen, no snow. Now it's amazing. I see trees outside, right? And I'm seeing them change. And I have this moment when I don't know if you do this, please, but I imagine what is being a tree. Have you ever thought that? Maybe I'm crazy, but what does it mean? Or when I'm in a beautiful place and, you know, there's no people, nobody's talking, I don't need to take a picture of my iPhone or anything like that. I just sit down in this beautiful place and I just sit and here is the now. And nothing, and everything is happening. You know, there's sounds, the water is going, the wind is blowing, the sun is there, the trees are moving little, but nothing else is happening. It's like the whole creation is waiting. It's just being. And sometimes being in those places is restful. Sometimes it's that I find my own impatience of what's next. You know, what do I need to do now? Where am I going to go now? But that is the idea of being mine, right? Being in the present, being right now, being in silence. Anyway, those two circles connect, right? They don't fully connect, but they interact, they overlap in a place. And that place of overlap is what they call wise mind, right? And I am not only in my doing mind. Sometimes I need to do things. But I'm not only in my being mind. I cannot be in the top of a mountain as a monk 24/7, right? At least not all of us can do it. But all of us probably need some of that time now and then. The overlap of that is what brings me to that place of wisdom where I need to engage in my day in the best way. Somehow, coming back to our book and trying to close our conversation today, somehow I believe that we are in an excessive doing mind in our time. We have really put a priority into, you know, productivity, accomplishment, speed. I think that's the point. The author of the book initiates this talking about his own experience, right? Nothing wrong with the pastors or mega churches or anything like that, but that's his story, right? It's in the book. And he talks about that, you know, here we are. I have to preach six times today. And he say, it's funny, that part is kind of funny. He say, well, everything got in a blur. After four, I don't remember anything. I don't know, I don't remember what I say. And I think that is the overdoing, right, of something. And so maybe all this conversation is bringing us to a slowing down that is eliminating hurry in me, you know, when it's too much. Anyway, well, that is our first conversation. I don't know if anybody has any last thought or question. Closing remarks. Well, we will see what we have next time then. Okay, I think next conversation is going to be a little bit of a very helpful kind of review of how is that we got here, right? It's a little history, and I enjoy kind of checking that already. But let's finish this conversation with that beautiful blessing and promise that we have from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, 24, 26, the blessing for each other. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. Till I'm looking through the eyes of love. I'm looking through the eyes.